Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. Today, I've got double trouble. We're talking gold. We're talking New South Wales. Kunanburri Gold is going to be an upcoming IPO. And it's very exciting, ladies and gentlemen, because it's in New South Wales and it's gold. What's not to like? Joining me today is the chairman, John Elkington, and the CEO, Karen O'Neill. Welcome to Small Caps, both of you. Great to see you. And Kunanburri Gold, I'm going to start with you, Karen, just for... It's a new IPO. It's exciting. It's in New South Wales. It's a new gold province, we hope, we think, we know. So if you could give our investor audience a bit of an overview, a brief overview, who are Kunanburri Gold?
Absolutely. So Kunanburri Gold is an Australian mineral exploration and development company. We have a focus exploring and developing the Kunanburri Gold project. We're in northwest New South Wales. The project is located approximately 160 kilometres northeast of Broken Hill and about 40 kilometres west of White Cliffs. We have over 1,300 square kilometres of exploration licences along the Kunanburri Fault, and there's been limited historical artisanal mining and a lot of prospecting, but very little exploration. It's really underexplored. There has not been a systematic gold exploration program undertaken in our area. That's what's making us quite excited. The project is early stage exploration. Kunanburri Gold has had the project licenses for about 4 years. We have done some early stage exploration and uncovered a pipeline of some targets to look at. The thing that excites us about this area is that it's an emerging gold province. It's geologically similar to the Victorian goldfields. We have similar rocks, geological structure and alteration. The timing of the mineralization is the same, and it's the similar tectonic setting. It's particularly similar to the Stawell mining region. And that's produced over 5 million ounces. Yeah. This interpretation was first documented by a geological study by New South Wales Department, and we've had independent geologists come through and confirm that for us. Not only are we very interested in the area, but there's been a recent resurgence of interest, maybe in the last 12 to 18 months. We've got multi-company, multi-commodity investment and exploration in the area at the moment. First up is probably Manhattan Corp. They've just recently completed a $10 million drilling program, air core drilling, and they're about to start an RC drilling program at the end of the month. They're about 20 kilometres northwest of us. We also have Odin Minerals. They've actually got a copper project to the south of us along the Kunanburri Fault. It's their flagship copper project. They've raised $7 million this year to invest in the exploration there. They've just announced results from an airborne electromagnetic survey, and they reckon they've got 58 targets out of that survey. So they're very excited. We've got S2 Resources, who's Mark Creasy's owns maybe 20% of those shares. They have an interest in a project to the west of the fault. There's Bangles.
There's a lot of people in the area and a lot of people doing a lot of prospecting. But what is it that's attracted you guys? I mean, I think you said before it's about 1,300 square kilometers. Is that what your tenure is?
Yes.
And so this is coming into an IPO. You're pretty excited. If I can just ask John a little bit about the sort of you're the chairman. I'd be interested to know, John, you've got a lot of big background in mining. What attracted you to Kunanburri?
Thanks, Kerry. I've been in mining pretty well my whole business career, and which spans many many years. Seen a lot of projects, greenfields, brownfields, operating projects. I've valued them. I've gone in and offered technical advice on them. As a greenfields project, this is by far the best that I have ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. That's a big call, John.
Yes. Well, it's the best that I've ever seen. The geological setting, as Karen pointed out, is very important, because my view is that structural setting is a very important part of the of gold mining operations. And I look at Stall in Bendigo, where I did a valuation on that in 2011 for Crocodile Gold.
Yes.
And at that time, Fosterville and Stall were on their last legs.
I remember this so well.
Yes, and Fosterville, I understand, last year produced over 500,000 ounces. So these things can change pretty quickly, and we're in this very similar structural setting to Stall and similar to Bendigo. Manhattan calls their project New Bendigo.
Oh, do they really?
Yes. So that setting, that part of the setting is good, but the really good thing is the abundance of gold nuggets on the surface.
Okay.
And there's been an exceptional amount of prospecting in the area. It's attracted the local landowners into prospecting, and they increased their prospecting capability to the point that it had attracted the authorities.
Are you serious? That's fantastic.
Yes. And
I'm not sure whether that's fantastic or not, but what a great story.
Yes. Well, this is what I'm told by George Rogers, the previous managing director, who secured the project from EMX. The project then went into a corporate structure with EMX, and George pickwinkled it out of there.
We might want to just explain a little bit about EMX and who they are and what that structure is, if you don't mind, John, before we go, because I do want to talk about the cover and what you've got there from a more technical point of view. But if I can just pause for a moment and just, Karen, can you just outline a little bit of this? Who are EMX and how did you come across how did the project come together, I guess? And are EMX still involved? Because EMX, I believe, are a royalty company.
Yes, so the previous MD pulled together a deal. He held some land that's up there near Manhattan Core at the moment. And EMX held the land that we currently have, these tenements. George managed to do a deal. Part of that deal is that we've left EMX with a royalty that they'll receive on production. There is a buyout clause in that royalty as well, so it's pretty standard, I think, what you would expect to see in the market. And we managed to get hold of this incredibly prospective area. What was key in, the difference, because EMX did some work, but they came across some issues actually getting land access. So the difference that George actually brought to the table was through working with some of the people on the ground, some of the landowners. We actually have land access agreement in place with the main area, the biggest area. So we're a step ahead of where EMX was. EMX were kind of happy to move on. They couldn't progress with their exploration.
Well, at the end of the day, they're a royalty company. So let them be a royalty company and let you guys get on with finding what it is and what you've got there at the end. You know, I think that's important as well. And question for you, Karen, before I jump back to John, is have you got all the landowners on site? Have you got any issues with access in the area?
No, we have the biggest area. We already have a land access agreement in place. And I mean, obviously, we value that relationship incredibly and we work on it all the time. We don't take that relationship for granted. Along with we have two others that are important to us. One of them that we've declared in our prospectus that The agreement has expired and we're in the process of renewal. We're actually right in the middle of that right now. So we see no issues whatsoever. There's one small area that we haven't had a pure land access agreement in place as yet. But we actually have like a rental agreement in place because we use their facilities for our camp and some basic infrastructure. No. So we have an extraordinarily good relationship with the team. We actually have done some small bits and pieces around the place. We see no issues with actually formalising that into a land access agreement.
Okay, so John, just going back to what you were talking about, the structures and what you've got, because you know it's an upcoming IPO. There's been a lot of IPOs. I want to find out because first and foremost, I'm curious about what's going on with Coonanberry. Is it undercover? What are the challenges out there?
Okay, the alluvial gold that initially attracted Coonanberry. Is at surface. However, there are also reef structures that are under slight cover and also protruding above the cover.
Okay.
And our geologists have identified gold within those reef structures. And I, while not ignoring the alluvial value of the project, we're directing our exploration target to the reef structures. And Coonanberry employed a geophysical survey group to do a particular survey on paleo channels for identifying where the alluvials might be. And in doing so, their equipment identified that the reef at Lucky Sevens went down 280 metres and continued, and they didn't have their equipment that was designed to test at depth because that wasn't their remit. So we're really encouraged that we've got a very substantial reef system there. And to that end, we've got a team coming in that will pull all of the data together that we've got, which is extensive. The drilling data that we've got, which is not that much drilling at this stage, but it's significant. And they will then do their surveys over the land and they will provide us with a 3D structural model of the reef structure systems coming off, splaying off the Coonanberry Fault. And they're the areas that we're expecting that they will find that we should identify for our first drilling programs, which will be RC drilling, reverse circulation drilling. So there's a little bit of technical work to do to start with, a few months, and then we're COVID hopefully doesn't get in our way too much, but we expect that we'll be able to start drilling with a drilling contractor later on this year.
Well, it all sounds pretty interesting. Karen, in terms of this prospectus, how much are you looking to raise? What price? How do people find out a little bit more? And, tell us, because I can sense that you're both, I mean, John said earlier, this is the best thing he's ever seen. You've been in the mining game for a little while, John. So when you said that, I went, oh, that's interesting. You're pretty excited about it, John. So,
really excited, and that's why I wanted to come on board with George and help out.
Well, I'm going to look forward to that. Karen, let's talk about the nuts and bolts here. How can people, if they're really curious to find out more, if you've got lots of information clearly in the prospectus, how can they find it? How much are you looking to raise? What price? And when does it open? Give us the nuts and bolts.
Excellent. Okay, so we lodged our prospectus with the ASX yesterday. Offers are open as of yesterday. We have the offers open until the end of the month. To be honest, we actually have a lot of interest. We've got some existing shareholders looking to invest, and we've had a lot of inquiries. We'll close when we reach our targets and we have the spread that we need. We're looking to raise 10 million Australian, and that's going to be in the format of 50 million shares at 20 cents each. We have an existing share book of around 60 million shares. Okay. They're very tightly held. We have a lot of family-based shareholders And there's a couple of small institutional sort of shareholders in there as well. They are so supportive of us. They are looking for us to be building a company. They're not really, they want to see us find gold. They want to see this grow. And they're keen to participate in the IPO as well. On the successful IPO, we'd end up with a market cap around $26 million. This has been based on peer valuations, and particularly we were looking at Manhattan Core, which is in the same area, similar stage of exploration as us. So we think that it's quite fairly valued. We believe the $10 million is enough to get us through the exploration stage, the steps that we want to take. We're looking at a 24-month program, and hopefully in that time we'd be able to have some exciting announcements.
What if you get so much excitement around? I'm just asking, what if you got 15 mil? Would you scale people back, or would you take the 15 mil, or are you going to cap it at 10?
I've had this discussion with our lead manager, and their preference at the moment is when we get the 10 mil to close.
Right.
And hence the reason why they are confident that the IPO will close early.
Yeah.
And so that is the preference also for our existing shareholders. That's probably what will happen, Kerry.
Okay, so once you get to 10, that's it. Closes early. You miss out. You snooze, you lose. And are some of those original shareholders, are they participating in this raise as well?
Yes, they are. We've got had discussions with quite a number of them, and they have expressed the view that they would like to participate in the IPO, and also to assist with the development ongoing.
Well, that is very positive. So, John, I've got to ask you, what do you think the challenges are? When you're first getting out into the area, what do you think the challenges are? Are the challenges bringing all the data together and trying to work out where the best place, you know, best bang for the buck in the drill bit is? Or what is it with landowners? What do you think? I'll ask that to either of you.
Yeah, well, my view is that the biggest challenge in exploration up there is that there's so many places to look. We've got that many targets up there. You know, we've probably got 11, 13 really identified targets, two top priority targets. And Kerry, you would be well experienced in what geologists like to do. They like to go and spend their money all over the place. And so this is where we've got to target our exploration. We've got to be tight with the money on the exploration. We've got to have a good balance, a good business plan for every bit of exploration that gets done. And that's where Karen's expertise is in that area, and she's very good at that. I've seen drilling programs blow out all over the place and not be successful.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to happen here. I want to bring a truly professional exploration program here that will identify the targets, and the people doing the work will have to justify it.
John, that's actually really good to hear from a sort of an investor's point of view, because sometimes you do see, as you say, these drilling programs blow out, and it's at the end of the day, it's shareholder funds, and you know, using them wisely is always music to my ears. So that was good to hear that you go to look at that. And I guess, Karen, you come from a finance background anyway, so you'll be making sure that they're spending their money wisely.
Yes, I'm going to be just meeting out those pennies very carefully. So what we have is we have a lot of data. There's a lot of data available from previous companies that have been around the place, but it's all like little bits and pieces, and there's nothing greatly coherent. And even in the last 4 years, Koonunberry Gold has tried to pull some of that together, but it's not in a good condition. So we have some real basic sort of work to do where we're pulling all of that information together, and we're going to find out what's useful, what's not useful, and move on. Our exploration plan that we've designed, it's lean, and the focus is to maximize on short duration sort of value add technology with specialists. So we're hoping that by using people who are experts in their fields to come in and do these pieces of work to add to our 3D model, we're going to be able to really clearly identify the different mineralizations that we've uncovered around the area, and also to hone in on what are our top priority targets. We want to be able to say that for every meter that we drill, we know exactly why we're drilling in that area. There's a whole bunch of reasons here that put it at the top of the priority list. We're looking to raise 10 million, but we need that 10 million to last us and to find us a resource. And so we're going to be very careful, and we're going to make sure that we use, good quality information to get this plan going.
Karen, you said it's interesting, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. But just before I do, one of you said before that a lot of it, you've got nuggets at surface and it's outcropping, etc. It's 2021. Why did you guys get this and nobody came across it before? It's just been playing in the back of my mind that surely somebody would have seen this earlier. How did you guys get so lucky?
Well, somebody did see it earlier, and that was the landowner. EMX couldn't get an access agreement because probably he didn't want to give them access.
Right.
But George, MD at the time, was able to negotiate a deal with them that they're satisfied with.
Right.
And so I think that's what it is. If you can't get in and have a look, you can't get in and have a look.
That's a very good point. Now, I'm getting quite excited about this. I'm going to Coonanberry just to try and see if I can find some nuggets out there before you start listing. Karen, I'd love to end up this way. Can you tell our investors that are listening to this why you think now is a really good time for people to spend their hard-earned cash in this new upcoming IPO, Coonanberry Gold? Give me three reasons.
First of all, the opportunity. Coonanberry Gold has the potential to be a major gold discovery in a greenfields location. The locality, emerging province, geologically similar to the Victorian goldfields. We have prospectivity of maybe, significant ounce production, and it's completely untested. We're going to be the first company to be able to put a systematic gold exploration program together. And we're drill ready. We have everything in place. We have our licenses in place. We've got environmental approvals. We're ready to start. So that means that from a shareholder point of view, we're going to have a really strong set of news items coming out as soon after we list as possible. Short duration exploration phases. We're hoping to get test results, study results, and hopefully drill results.
Well, I love the enthusiasm. And as we said at the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, it's a new gold discovery, maybe, in a new gold province, maybe, but it's all very exciting. And as John said earlier, it's one of the best things he's looked at. John and Karen, it's been delightful to chat to you both today. Karen, where can people go to find this prospectus and the information?
Please head to our website. It's www.coonanberrygold.com.au. Right on the front page, you'll see a link to our prospectus. There'll also be a link for our online applications that'll take you through to our share registry.
Fantastic. And if you don't know how to spell Coonanberry Gold, it's on John's left shoulder and Karen's right shoulder, I think. Karen and John, delightful to chat to you both today. Good luck with the project, and we'll look forward to the upcoming drill results. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Karen.